This morning, I'd like to look at a subject from kind of a big picture to start with, and then we'll kind of hone on some specifics. I believe that preaching can be general, but if preaching isn't specific and making some kind of application, I think it's a waste of time preaching. I've heard sermons sometimes, and after the sermon's over, you're thinking, well, how does that really apply to me? Well, hopefully you won't say that this morning, and I think most of the lessons we hear, all lessons actually, we can make some kind of application. But I want to look at a couple different things. I want to look at man's ways versus God's ways. Now, as far as the big picture, from the very beginning, and we're going to look at Adam and Eve in a minute, but this has been a great conflict. You open your Bible and you read just about any page in the Bible, and there seems to be a conflict. There's what man wants to do and what God wants man to do. And we even see that today, even with a lot of the unrest that's going on. And last night at 10:30, 11 o'clock, trying to sleep and listen to fireworks, you're just thinking to yourself, you know, what has got into people? Where are we going? What's the world coming to? And it can overwhelm you. But then sometimes you step back and say to yourself, well, this is just man's ways versus God's ways. And we, when we have that observation, when we have that perspective, I think Christians can deal with this in a way, because they know who's in control. They can pillow their head at night and think, no matter what the world is today or what the world may be tomorrow, God is in control. But it's only if we accept his control and what he wants. Now, I want to say something now before I forget about it. And I want to emphasize this right here. Because the only way, I'm going to say in general, that we know God's ways is through this. I guess it's the only way. Now, we can know that God exists through creation and the things that we observe. But it puts a premium on this right here. Now, I'm going to ask you some questions today, and I want you to seriously think about it. Because if we are having a contrasted lesson between God's ways and man's ways, and over here, you don't have to put forth much effort. This is what you want to do. This is what I want to do. And our selfish ways, we can come up with that really quick. But as far as knowing what God's word is, how much time this week, we'll get personal, how much time this week did you open that book and really study it with the intent that I want to know what his ways are? Now, I'm not going to set a time that, oh, you 3 hours a day or anything. I'm just saying the emphasis is on this. And as mothers and fathers and parents and grandparents, if our children never see us in this book, what do they think? It's not important? Or they know it all? No. And I think to myself, am I studying that enough? Maybe restudying things you've already studied. You could have read through it 100 times. We don't know. But the emphasis is on this, because if you don't study this and know God's ways, you're going to fall into this. You're going to fall right into the way that the media tells us to think, the world tells us to think, and we have to be very careful. So from a big picture, when we take a look at the scriptures and we see the things that go on in the scriptures, a lot of times we say, they didn't know this, or they knew it, were ignorant of it, or didn't want to do it, but they just follow the way of the world. They just follow the way of the world. You know, God warned us of this. It's not something new that, well, nobody told me. No, God told us from the very beginning. There is a way which seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So just to establish our point here, there is a way which seemeth right, that's man's way, but the end is destruction, isn't it? The end is death. It seems right. We've all been in situations where we made a decision that seemed right, and it was a destructive decision, wasn't it? As we look back, we thought, I shouldn't have made that decision. That decision wasn't based on what God wants. That decision wasn't based on his ways. It was my own ways. And it was sometimes those consequences of things you may not know till later on in life. But you can honestly look back and say, nah, I didn't do it. Didn't do the right thing. The way of a fool is right, in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Again, the way of the fool. If we have the attitude that this is my way, this is how I want to do it, then just keep on that path. And things may seem like they're going real well for you in this life, but when eternity comes and the judgment comes, it's going to be a rude awakening. There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness. Whether the generation is now, or when this proverb was written, or all time, again, we're taking kind of a big picture look. They're in their own eyes. And we'll look at a few examples, but you look at how God's people, we'll talk specifically about how they faltered. And what happened? Well, they were wise in their own eyes, weren't they? They were following their own ways. God told them one thing and they did something else. That's so simple. And when we look at the scriptures in general, these things resonate to us and come out and say, this is the way of destruction. This is the way of a path that's not pleasing to God. And these are warnings that each and every one of us, as we study God's word, can see them. And it's whether or not we will heed to these warnings. Another verse, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. You know, it's a humbling verse, and it's a humbling attitude that when we read this and we say to ourselves, I acknowledge that God's ways, his thoughts, are higher than mine. And he knows. He created me. How can I be superior to him? How can I think different from him and think that I'm right? It's not possible. And God's people, down through time, were very successful if they had this in their mind. What are his ways? What are my ways? And what are we going to do with the time that we're here on life, in life? And you might be able to fool some of the people and say, well, boy, it appears that Rob's doing the right thing. But is he really? Is he following his ways or God's ways? And sometimes our fruits will often show that. And just like here in Isaiah, we have to understand who we're serving. This is God the Father, the one that was involved in creation, that created us, that provided all the many great things that we have. And for us to just minimalize who he is and his ways, at least on the surface, that's a great fault of ours. So let's start out with what I mentioned here earlier, Adam and Eve. There's so many lessons. It just seems like every time I preach, I want to go back to Adam and Eve. It just seems like the very start, there's just so many lessons. And here was God that provided them with everything they needed. Was there anything lacking when we looked there? God created the heavens and the earth. God gave them everything, the animals, the plants. He totally provided for them. But he had some rules. Now that's lesson one. Some people look at that and think, oh boy, how horrible was God to put some rules on him right off the bat. Well, God's always been a God of law. God has always been a God of, this is what I want. Don't we like that? Don't we like that? Sometimes I think about where I work at. I like structure. I like to know, okay, what am I supposed to do? Where am I supposed to be? What time? I like that. Now, it seems like our society anymore is kind of freelance. Well, I'll just show up to work when I want and I'll do what I want. No, that's not. I like structure. And I like structure in religion. I like God for it to tell us what, and he did. He told Adam and Eve from the, and how many do nots did he tell them? Well, there wasn't very many, was there? There's one main one that I recall. I mean, he gave them some jobs to do, the animals and things like that. But in general, he said not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So right from the very beginning, God's ways were pronounced. And they knew, but there was man's way, there was God's way. There was Adam and Eve's way, and there was God's way. He provided everything for them. He provides everything for us. But we have to do our part, don't we? And if you go through that text in Genesis 2 and 3 and 4 and just read through there, you can see very early on the influence of the devil. And I want to make that point here. I think that's a good point to make about this text, is that the devil is present today, and he knows our weaknesses. And you might say, I don't know if the devil, I'm very confident the devil is alive and well. And he's roaring around like a lion seeking who he may devour. And you say, how do you know, Rob? You know why? Because he knows my weaknesses, and those are put forth all the time. I know he exists, and he knows those things. Well, he knew what the weaknesses of Adam and Eve were right from the very beginning. And that was one of the big picture things here, and that is there's man's way and God's way. And he came into the scene here, and of course he told them all, just what God told you is not accurate. It's not accurate. It's not totally the truth here. And we know the story, but my whole point is there was a contrast in ways. The other thing is how about the influence of Eve on Adam? And Adam on Eve, so to speak. You know, when we deal with man's ways, sometimes we're dealing with our own mate. Sometimes we're dealing with our own family. Sometimes we're dealing with our own brethren. And we have to be careful what they're saying. Is it God's way? Or is it man's way? And as the devil can influence us, man's ways, we can influence each other. I mean, I think of a husband and wife situation, how that we it's a checks and balances. We help each other. If somebody gets off a little bit, hey, you know, Diane might say, straighten up, you know, or whatever somebody might say. But that's good. That's what a helpmate's for. That's what brethren are for, to help us get on the right path. Well, Adam and Eve, they didn't adhere to that. They just, Eve sinned and she influenced Adam, and before they knew it, they were separated from God. Just that one thought. What am I doing? What do I want? Selfish reasons. I want this fruit of it, so I'm going to take it. It's for the eye, it's good. And I did what I wanted to do. And then that's the contrast right here. So many lessons for us today. And something simple like that is that when we fall from God's grace, when we do our things on our own way, and number one, it's because we wanted to do it. But did we not understand what he said? Or did we understand what he said, but we just wanted to do our own thing? Even from the very beginning, we can see that God established, for instance, marriage through the institution that he created with Adam and Eve. He joined them together. Now, we could spend a whole sermon just on marriage and the way man thinks about it. But look right here. The Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. That's God's way. He instituted marriage. He knew that man needed a helpmeet. Brought them together, a union that he created. And you contrast that to what the world's saying today about marriage. Number one, I guess it's still at an all-time high. People aren't even getting married anymore. They don't want that permanent commitment. A lot of people that have gotten married have gotten out of it. I work with so many people that are in their second, third marriage or just living with somebody. The institution of marriage, the institution of the home, it's crumbling. This is man's way. They think this is the best way. Well, when you're selfish and you think, well, I don't really want to marry or make a commitment because, you know, there could be financial ramifications and so forth. It's just a destructive attitude. Well, even on top of that, I mean, we see that in Adam and Eve, what God instituted. But how about just divorce? You know, we have marriage, but we also have divorce. I won't read this. We know the scripture talks about Matthew 5:32. The only cause for divorce is the unfaithfulness and the fornication, adultery. We understand that. But how much has this been corrupted and changed because of man's ways? Well, you know, Rob, that's antiquated teaching. It's way back then. And we can kind of pick this apart. We can interpret this a little bit. It's okay now. People can get a divorce for any reason and remarry. Really? No, that's not true. That's man's ways. You know, this is some of the most simple teaching there is in the scriptures about marriage and divorce. God has set down what the rules are, set down what he wants. Well, how about this? Man's ways to define what they think constitutes a marriage. Man's way says, well, God wants me to be happy. Have you ever heard that? Talking to people that may be in a divorce, unscriptural divorce, and it's an unpleasant conversation you have to have with them. Maybe you're having a Bible study with them, and this comes up, but, oh, hey, by the way, I've been divorced and remarriage, and you might inquire a little bit about it, and then you hear things like, well, God wants me to be happy. Yeah, God wants us to be happy. There's no doubt about that. But God wants us to be happy within his rules. Again, we have, your battery is running low. Okay. I didn't realize this laptop was doing that, but do we have a cord up here for that?
Yeah.
Well, if you can listen to me while I plug this in. But anyway, God has set up the way he wants things done. And he wants us to be happy. I can figure out where to plug this in. I think it goes in over here. Okay, we all happy now. Nice. So I'm happy. Okay, but anyway. but happiness is not defined by what we think. It's not defined by God's, contrast to God's word. Let's move on to the next point. Man's way is marriage is a throwaway relationship. You know, I've talked to people entering into their first marriage, and you get the feeling from the conversation, well, yeah, it's kind of like buying a wheelbarrow. After it wears out, you just throw it away. Or you don't like it anymore. Do they think about the permanency of marriage? Do they think about till death do us part? Cameron and Natasha, Alan hit on some of these things down there when you had the ceremony. This is a lifetime commitment. Don't go into it if you're not going to be committed lifetime, and make it work while you're in it. It's not just I do and everything's rosy. Things are going to be difficult. But our society says, and I seen something online yesterday that talks about the number one reason people get divorced, they say, is just incompatible. We just don't get along anymore. That could be for various reasons. Well, if you were to ask them, well, exactly what happened? You're going to come up here and you're going to find out man's ways versus God's ways. Somebody in the marriage said, I'm tired of being married, or I'm not getting along. There's going to be difficulties in a marriage. What are we told to do? We're told to stick it out, get through it. What about the family? You know, the family's being attacked all the time. And we all know all the stuff going on. You can turn on. There was a fellow on the TV, and I so appreciated him. And they were just asking him, you know, they said that all the problems going on, and that we're going to solve these problems. And, you know, it's okay to talk about problems, maybe things that need changed. But then sometimes you ask, okay, well, what would you do? Well, I don't know. We just need change. Well, you can't just change things without some kind of a plan. So this guy was talking, and he says, you know what the problem is? He said, right here, the family. He says, a lot of these people have no father figure. If they had this picture of their family, they'd cut that father right out, because that's man's way. And how many times have there been fathers that impregnate, and they're gone before the baby's born? Shameful. That's not the structure that God wants. How about a man and a woman, you can tell, and kids? How about a man and a man? We got that going on now. A woman and a woman. How'd you like to be that child when you get to the age and you find out I've got two dads in this home? Brother, we need to wake up. This is blasphemy. This is against God's way. We want to know, and I was talking about this guy that I was listening to. He said, these men, these women, shame, it's horrible for them. but they could be to blame too as well. We're not talking about that. But these children are being raised in a single parent home, no father figure, and they're not breaking the chain. They're just following what their dad did, Somebody got to break the chain. It's destructive. We're talking about all races. This isn't just one certain. He's saying this is the root of the problem. It's the root of the problem, the family. The root of the problem is it's man's ways versus God's ways. He has a way that he wants a family set up. And if you go against that, it's horrible. Because you know what I think about? These kids right here. They're victims. Let's just call it what it is. They didn't ask for this. Now, a lot of times, they rise above that, even if something does happen. It's horrible. It's absolutely horrible. And each and every of us that can step back, a big picture, but then look at it microscopically as well, and know that this is against God's will. Well, how about just in general, kind of a flip to another subject, and that is the treatment of others. How far would this go today? When we're seeing what's going on, somebody deciding, I'm going to light off fireworks, we were talking before services, I never heard it as bad as I've ever heard yesterday. I thought I lived in a war zone. Now, were those people thinking, you know, my neighbor Rob and Diane and Rachel, they're, you know, three or four houses down, and if I light this thing off at 10 o'clock at night, makes this big boom, they won't be able to sleep, or if they're sleeping, they're going to wake up. No, we live in a selfish society. They could care less about me or anybody else. It's all about them. Partying. First of all, it's illegal in Aurora to have any fireworks. I don't even know what the rules are in Colorado. But if I was going to shut something off, I think, you know, 10 o'clock, I mean, come on. You have heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him. Also, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law, take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow or thee, turn not thou away. You have heard that has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Read that and look at this, and you just tell me how we can be better in the treatment of others. How can we be? What can we do? Number one, the focus is off of ourselves. And if you have neighbors, you would think better. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophet. Let's put that up on billboards for people to read. Whatever you would, therefore all things, whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do you also to them. You ever thought if I do this right now, if I say this, how's somebody else going to respond? What are they going to think about this? And you know, here the last several years, I've been thinking, before I say something, I say to myself, how is that person going to respond to what I have to say? I've said things that there was no response, and I said to myself, that wasn't fair. I gave them a question they're probably not going to respond to. Or I may say something or act in a certain way. Well, what's man's thoughts? Well, man's thoughts says, if it feels good, do it. That's the model they live by. They wake every day thinking, it's all about me today. Not about others. Matter of fact, if there's others on the road, watch out. Here I come. Just get out of the way. What does God say? Here's what God says. It's very sobering. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, do what? Think on these things. Don't fall into the trap of the world. And don't fall into the... Does God want us to feel good? Does God want us to enjoy? Yes, he does. But usually when we hear that, there's no restraint. There's no, this is within God's rules that I'm having fun doing certain things. No. We are so blessed in this country. And sometimes I refer to Africa a lot when I was able to go over there. Listen, if Rob's complaining about something, just say Africa. Say Africa. And I'll know exactly what you're talking about. Oh, the pews down there, they're so hard. Ah, the air conditioning wasn't down quite enough. How about sitting on a concrete floor for 3 or 4 hours, listening to a preacher in 90-degree humid weather and not blink an eye? I mean, the people in Africa do that all the time. They were born, raised, and died. Never had air conditioning, never had running water, have very limited access to food, and they're as happy as they can be. Think about it. Think about it. Think about all the many blessings that you have. The place to worship, a job, an income, retirement fund, whatever. Think about that. Think about all the things that we are blessed in. Anyway. I'm not hurting anyone. You ever hear that? Sometimes you hear young people say that. It's not hurting anybody. What's God's way? Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. As parents and grandparents, we tell our young people, you want to sow your wild oats? You're going to reap the consequences. Tell them. And this ideal, I'm not hurting one. Well, let's just start out here. Number one, you're hurting God. When you do your way and you think, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm over here in my home doing things that nobody knows about. No, God knows. And you're hurting him. And you know who else you're hurting? Yourself. Spiritually. Physically. All kinds of problems. Because it's man's way to say things like that. Oh, come on, Rob. God is love, and he would not send anyone to hell. Yeah, God is love. And there's a pathway to accepting his love and being a beneficiary of his love. But you know what? In that love, God is a God of love, but God is also a love of justice. And God is also a love that he will bring all things. And we've read that into an account. Let's read it now. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according that he hath done, whether it is good or bad. When somebody says he wouldn't send anyone to hell, they need to finish out reading this, whether it be good or bad. Oh, God is love. God has mercy. God has grace. Yes, he has all that. We're not de-emphasizing that. But we're looking at the contrast here. We're looking at a huge contrast. And each and every one of us have to step back and think, is this man's way or God's way? Let me give you a few more examples. Man's way. Just a little lie. Somebody told me a long time ago, little lies end up big lies. Now, I don't think there's a little or big. There's consequential. You might say, I didn't do that. But you really did. And sometimes I've heard some of you tell 2 or 3 lies to cover the one lie. No, there's no little lie. But that's man's way of thinking. If you don't lie, you're just like, well, who are you? You never lie? How about a little drink? Just a little drink, you know? Just a little drink, Rob. Just one beer, that's just a little drug. You know, unfortunately, David, you're in Colorado, and yeah, our state plan is probably going to be soon changed to the marijuana plant, you know, unfortunately. But we live in a society where the government says it's okay to smoke marijuana. Well, it's been okay to drink, so you might as well just add on to that. How about no one will care? That's kind of like no one will know. No one will miss it. It's just a little gossip, Rob. How about it's just one sin? How many sins is it going to take for us to miss heaven? One. One unrepentant sin. This is man's ways. What does God say? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. It's a huge contrast. Huge contrast. Well, a couple more. Love not the world, nor the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes, pride of life, is not of the Father. It's not his way, but is of the world, man's ways. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Well, how about man's ways? You know, Rob, one church is as good as another. I've heard of one church. How about the church of the devil? Well, let's not get carried away here. There's a church of the devil. Go look at it on the internet. Church of the devil. What does God's way say? Look at how many times the word one is said here. Now, may not be the smartest person, but one isn't two. One is one. There is one body, the church, one spirit. Even as you all called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. Anybody that says one church is as good as another, basically you're saying, I'm at a church over here that really doesn't matter, and leave me alone, this is where I want to go, they have instruments, music, they have potlucks in the basement, we have entertainment, this is what I want. Okay. What about your worship? What about Cain and Abel? Look at how many cases we have where there was unacceptable worship to God. Profane fire. Let's just look at all the examples that come to my mind. What about today? What about in the Lord's church? You know, whether we want to accept it or not, and I think we should talk about it, because I think we should try to help brethren. But during this time, do you know there's some churches that have shut their doors and they haven't opened their doors the whole time? What do we say about that? We just don't talk about that, Rob. You know, I've heard within the walls of this building, and I don't know which man it was, I kind of know, I've heard sayings like this. Father, during persecution, during troubling times, if the government takes over, may we have enough guts to come through the doors and worship God. Man's ways versus God's ways. Who are we afraid of? Acts 5:21. It's more important to obey God than man. Now, I'm not trying to tell each church what you got to do to make it work, but to shut your doors and not even attempt to worship. Oh, we're worshiping like this, like that. Think about it, brethren. If the government said, Holly Street, you are not to worship God Almighty coming next Sunday. Now, what are we going to do, brethren? Are we going to follow man's ways or God's ways? Oh, you're pretty bold, Rob. Well, come through that door and handcuff me and take me to jail. I believe that. And we could get to that. And we may be closer to that than we think we are. How are you going to make it work? We have to worship God. What about partaking the Lord's Supper like we did this morning? You know, I'm aware of a case where people on their way back to their church stopped and took the Lord's Supper in their car or camper or in a hotel room. Brethren, I don't see that. And I'd be happy to discuss it with anybody. But my whole point is that are we going to have a prayer that says, no matter what, Father, we're going to be Christians. We're going to worship you. No matter what. Don't say it if you don't believe it. Okay? The time will come. And we're in it right now. We're in it. They could come back tomorrow and say, we're going to cancel worship services. It's not essential. Stay home. I serve the true and living God. And he tells me to assemble on the first day of the week and have five acts of worship, and I'm going to do it. And I hope you do too. When you think about these things, because we're going to stand before God Man's ways is, well, you know, it's a safety thing. I heard that excuse. It's a safety thing. Well, let me tell you something. If anybody's vulnerable here and you want to stay home, there ain't one member here that's going to say, why did X stay home? That's because they have health problems and they want to stay home. No problem. I have no problem. Won't say anything about that. But if you feel like you can go to the store and do all this and do all that, and I can come on Sunday at 10:30 and worship God, then we'll be here because this is God's way. And the brethren throughout the world, mainly the country, and you can go on the internet and read articles after article about, we got to rethink this. And I think what's happening, we're going to open up Pandora's box for virtual church and do all this other stuff. And guess what, Virgil? When we go up fishing and hunting, guess what? Bring your laptop and we'll virtual into Holly Street and we'll worship with them while they're worshiping. Brethren, that's going on. People are just losing their minds. They're losing their minds. That's not a safety issue, but it's a convenience thing. You know, I was on my way back from traveling on vacation on a Sunday. Well, I probably shouldn't have been traveling on Sunday, but I decided to just pull over into a hotel and virtual in and worship with my brethren. Ain't happening. It ain't happening. Think about what we're doing. As we close, how about salvation? There's been one subject that's been absolutely corrupted. It's man's plan against God's plan of salvation. Now, they've messed up everything about it. I mean, hear the word? No. You get this message from God. He sends it to you. That you're saved. Oh, okay. Hear, believe, repent. Baptism? There's not one religion that hasn't messed up baptism. Why are you... Well, yeah, we're going to have the baptisms next Tuesday, as the Baptists do. It's baptism hour. Or are you saved? Do you know nobody that was saved was ever baptized? You're saved after you're baptized, not before. Man has totally messed that up. How about God's way? Hear, believe, repent, confess, and are baptized. If we don't get that right, we're just worshiping in vain. We're attending. We're not even doing the right thing. Well, let's look at a couple things as we wrap up here. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? It's a question. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? What are we going to answer? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and strife in your heart, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above man's ways, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now here's the contrast. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easily to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruits of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. James 3:13-18. That's where it is. From God. And it doesn't matter what we think in our ways, it will never trump, ever, what God has to say. Well, what about you? As we make application, we've all been on the left side. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of God's word. Every one of us has said, I'm going to do it like I want to do it. We've all been there. Every one of us can raise our hand. But let's get rid of that if it's still in our life, if it's still in our way. You know what, Rob? Tomorrow, I'm going to start. You know how many things start on Monday? Diets start on Monday. People trying to live right on Monday. People stop drinking on Monday. And probably by Tuesday, it's over with. Anyway, it's the Monday blues, right? We're not guaranteed another second, another minute. And it makes us want to be in the right relationship with God when? At all times. And if you're saying, I'll start it tomorrow, you might as well just say you ain't going to do it, because it ain't going to start tomorrow. You start today. You start doing it now. You rethink. Am I, every time something comes up, is this man's ways or God's ways? This is my way, let's see, how I want to do it. Well, this isn't scripture. This is man wrote this, but it's about tomorrow. And I think about this sometimes. Tomorrow. Tomorrow, he promised his conscience. Tomorrow, I mean to be good. Tomorrow, I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow, I'll do as I should. Tomorrow, I'll conquer that habit that holds me from heaven's away. But even or whatever his conscience repeated, one word and one only, today. Tomorrow, thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, till youth like a vision was gone. Till age and his passion had written the message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows came death with the pitiless syllable, now. Don't let that happen to us. We talked about our blessings. God has given you today, this hour, this minute. And we can change if we need to change. We can go from man's ways to God's ways. What about you this morning? As we extend the invitation. If you're not a Christian, that's the beginning. That's the beginning. As we see, there's steps to salvation. You have to follow each and every one of those steps. You can't skip one because you don't like it. Each and every one. Believe, hear, repent, confess, and be baptized. And then live a life that has these challenges in front of you. But you know what? How would you like to face life with these challenges without God? Without his word? Without knowing what he wants us to do? None of us want to face life without any guidance if we truly want to be pleasing to him. Or maybe you're a Christian, and maybe some things that I said this morning from God's word, not something I came up with. It's easy just to preach God's word. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And let's stick to that. And as we see things in the world, yeah, that bothers us. But let's focus on ourselves. Where am I deficient? Where am I deficient? It's easy to see the deficiencies in others. Say to yourself, where can I be better? And be honest with yourself. And be a better person. And be a person that God is pleased with. The invitation is now being extended to any that are willing to accept it as we stand and sing.